Hey, we're back on Downtown. It is the home stretch of a Thursday afternoon show. Rich Kimble here. Kerry Haskell on assignment promises he'll be back with us tomorrow. But in the meantime, lots of good people to keep us company this afternoon, including our next guest who writes about fantasy baseball for The Athletic and Rotographs and is going to make my life so much easier with my draft just a couple of weeks away. We're happy to have our friend Al Melchior back on the show with us. Hello, Al.
Hey, Rich, thanks for having me on, and no pressure there, right?
No, not at all. I'm. Listen, you and I were on the same page last year, and I had some good guys that you recommended that I already liked. It worked out well, and I'll get to my team and my personal concerns, but I want to talk big picture first. And like a lot of people who play this game and enjoy it so much, you've got some guys that you like, Al's guys, and you wrote about them for The Athletic. Some of those people that you tend to have on rosters every year, people like Shin-Soo Chu, Brian Reynolds of the Pirates. So what's the draw to guys like that for you?
Well, you know, the common link between pretty much all of them is seeing value. And, you know, it's a whole series that we're doing on The Athletic. So you've got a lot of different versions of the My Guys columns. And it's kind of interesting that we see value different ways and through different things. So, you know, you mentioned somebody like Brian Reynolds. And I think a lot of people are really not interested in him, perhaps, or waiting, you know, really long to get him in their draft queues because they look at what he did last year. It wasn't a lot of power. That's never really been his game. He was one of the top hitters in terms of batting average on balls in play, and that's something that a lot of people tend to dismiss. But for Reynolds, I think that's just an actual skill and something that he can come pretty close to repeating this year. So, you know, it's seeing players perform in ways that, you know, maybe most fantasy owners aren't really expecting or believing in.
Also, value often to be found in those guys that we call the post-hype players, and you've highlighted a few of them. Tell me a little bit about why Logan Allen of Cleveland should be one of those guys that you might earn some profit on this year.
Yeah, well, the players that I featured in that particular column, there's a combination or an intersection of probably having an opportunity to get some playing time and then an underlying skill set that maybe has been dormant or underappreciated. So in the case of Logan Allen, somebody who put up really great minor league numbers, and I mean, this is sort of the template for a post-type prospect, is somebody who does great in the minors. They come up maybe a little too soon in some cases, and they sort of flop in their first go-around. So Allen had just a flat-out bad rookie season, split between the Padres and the Indians, but the Indians with their pitching injuries. Allen's got a real opportunity to make an impression early on, possibly be in the rotation right away. And I think it's an opportunity for him to do what he did well as a minor leaguer that he wasn't really able to do well in, you know, frankly, pretty limited time in the majors last year.
We're talking with Al Melchior here on Downtown. Well, the flip side of those post-hype guys are the players coming off breakout seasons, and you wrote about that today. One of the guys who had a tremendous season last year, a favorite here in Red Sox Nation, Rafael Devers. What are the chances of him repeating, or are we more likely to see a little regression this year?
Oh, I think we'll see a little bit of regression, just, you know, given the immense improvements that he made, but those improvements were also backed up by skills. So what I do with a lot of these players is I look at the surface stats, but then I look at how they built those up, you know, look underneath the hood and see what skill improvement there might have been, or where maybe there was just a case of good timing, good luck, maybe a good lineup around that player, who knows. But in the case of Devers, he pretty much backed up what he did last year. So he dropped his strikeout rate he cut it by about almost a third. So I could certainly see him picking up a couple more points in the strikeout rate this year. I mean, that's just an immense improvement. But this is a guy sort of like Brian Reynolds, who we just talked about, who I think it really has an approach that's built for getting hits on balls in play better than the average hitter. So I think he'll continue to do that. I think he'll continue to be an average contact hitter at best, and maybe better than that. And I think he'll come awfully close to what he did last year.
Red Sox having all kinds of pitching problems with the Chris Sale situation. Of course, trading away David Price. Everything seems to be a question mark. I thought an interesting signing by them today, a veteran right-hander, Colin McHugh. Is he a guy who could have some fantasy value in the right role for the Red Sox?
I think so. Of all the options that they had, both internal and external, to me, McHugh stood out as the absolute superior one. So when I saw that news this morning, I thought that was a great move for the Red Sox. And, of course, they're able to make it at this late date because there is risk involved. He did drop off some last year. He had the injury issues in 2019. But, again, if you go a level deeper and you go beyond the ERA that was just a bit shy of 5, that's not good. But a lot of that, too, was maybe a little bit of misfortune on his part, not stranding enough base runners, which is something that isn't necessarily related to skill. If you look at the components of the ERA, the percentage of batters that he struck out, the percentage of batters that he walked, how much hard contact he allowed, he was worse in each of those areas last year, but not dramatically so. So I think he'll be quite better. As long as he can stay healthy, he'll be quite a bit better than he was in 2019. And granted, that was mostly out of the bullpen. But this is somebody who I think if he's healthy and durable, he's going to be a great find for the Red Sox.
People have played the game for a while, I think, have seen the transition in the value of the closer role that used to be a big money if you were in auction league, a big money pick. If you were in a straight draft, then they were guys that often went in the early rounds. People don't do that anymore because it's a role that tends to change dramatically for teams over the course of the season. So with that in mind, who are a few closers in waiting, guys that may not have that job to start the season but might be the number two or three option?
Well, I'll tell you, somebody that I really have come to like in that regard, and I'm going to give credit where credit's due, Nando DeFino put together a piece in The Athletic a couple weeks back where he got predictions from various beat writers for The Athletic. And Patrick Mooney, who writes on the Cubs, he wrote that it's not a crazy possibility that Rowan Wick could get more saves than Craig Kimbrell this year. Because Kimbrell he wasn't good in 2019. He dealt with injuries. And Wick, on the other hand, in his rookie season, he was terrific. He was really good, particularly at limiting hard contact. He didn't give a home run the whole year, and he wasn't up the whole year, but for about the half year he was up, he didn't give up a single home run, which last year was really an amazing feat. He's a pretty decent strikeout pitcher, pretty good all the way around. So I certainly like Rowan Wick as somebody who's backing up an injury-plagued closer. And, you know, I'd say beyond that, certainly in I think Atlanta's the obvious place where, in fact, people are drafting Will Smith, who's not the projected closer, ahead of Mark Melanson, who is the projected closer. And I don't think Melanson's particularly bad for the role, but if he runs into trouble, Will Smith is the obvious guy to replace him. So I think it's good to take, if it's possible, to take a cheap flyer on Will Smith. And the only problem there is that he's not coming all that cheaply.
The Tampa Bay bullpen seems to be a bit in flux as well with some trades, and there are a lot of talented arms there, guys like Diego Castillo, Nick Anderson. And who do you think will emerge as the closer, or is Tampa Bay one of those teams that's not unlikely to stick with one guy all season?
You know, it's I'm glad you raised the Rays, because when you asked the previous question, I was going to talk about them. I thought, well, I'm not even really sure who the closer is waiting to be the closer. But I do think it'll probably be Nick Anderson who gets the bulk of the saves there, because once he was traded from the Marlins at the deadline last year, they put him right away into really high leverage positions where he was often coming in the eighth inning right before Emilio Pagan, who's now gone with the Padres. So I think Anderson assumes that role for the most part. But Kevin Cash does seem to be comfortable with fluid roles in the bullpen. So I do think somebody like Castillo or Colin Poche could certainly grab a few saves here and there. I think it's just that the talent is so deep in that bullpen and that the way it's managed is so fluid that there's not really one backup reliever or, you know, setup reliever that I think you could really pinpoint and say there's somebody who could really have a lot of value.
A strategy question for you, Al. For people in auction leagues, I've had years where I've had some big money guys like a Mike Trout, Mookie Betts. Are you better off as a rule to have that guy who might go for $40 plus or to have a couple of solid $20 guys?
I have really, after last year, which was not really a great year for me in my leagues, I've really changed my feeling about this. And I'm already in my auctions that I've done so far and the ones that are coming up, I plan to be much more aggressive because I have found it very hard to win if you don't have some really strong, consistent anchors in your lineup, in your rotation. So I really would like to have at least three really high dollar players in my lineup, and one or two in the rotation. And particularly in a 12-team or even a 15-team mixed league, there's enough surplus, even in terms of players that, that won't get drafted, that, you know, if you, you take the $1 players that you really like and you just have a feeling that they're going to return great value and it doesn't work out, you can probably replace them with somebody with a similar profile from Fab or from waivers. So I definitely have moved very strongly in the direction of trying to build the Stars and Scrubs team.
All right, on to me, the important part of our conversation out here. Last year, one of the guys I rode and was happy to have your support in this was a very cheap Mike Minor, who certainly paid good dividends for me last year. A couple of young guys that I've got on my roster in an AL-only league, my primary league, that I'm really intrigued with. A couple of second basemen, young guys from Minnesota. Tell me about Luis Arraez and why he's well worth hanging on to.
Because he's already shown himself to be one of the best contact hitters in baseball and somebody who fits that Rafael Devers, Brian Reynolds profile, somebody who could not only make a lot of contact, but when they keep it in the park, which arrives because he doesn't have a lot of power, he's going to do that a lot. He's going to turn a lot of those batted balls into base hits. So he's not an across-the-board producer because I think the power is going to be lacking. But he should score plenty of runs, hit for a really high average, and that's certainly valuable unto itself.
And another guy I have, he's cheap, I'm intrigued by him, and it looks like he's got the starting job in Seattle, Shed Long.
Yeah, I really like Shed Long. He seems to be a little trendy, because I thought I really liked him, and then I look at where other people are having him ranked, or reading columns where people have him as a sleeper, so I guess the things that I see, other people are obviously seeing them too. They're not state secrets. But he had a really nice showing when he came up late with the Mariners last year. And so I think a lot of us are just thinking, well, here's somebody who is still pretty much available in the later rounds, even in some deeper leagues. And let's take a flyer and see if he can pick up where he left off. So I certainly like Shed Long as a sleeper, as long as he remains one.
The catcher position's had a bit of a resurgence in recent years, and I've got a wily old veteran who hit far more home runs last year than he probably deserved to, but I'm still tempted to hang on to Roberto Perez.
Yeah, I like him too. I kept him in a keeper league this year because at the catcher position where things do thin out pretty quickly, I certainly want to take the chance that he's going to turn in a similar season this year. And you're right, that maybe there is some risk that he does regress a bit in terms of the power production. But because catcher is what it is, Rich, that you can take that chance. If it doesn't work out for him, then maybe there's the 2020 version of Roberto Perez, or for that matter, Pedro Severino, or somebody who emerges that you don't expect to emerge. So you take that chance, and I like what Perez showed us in 2019.
Well, I can't wait for it to all get rolling once again. And in the fantasy baseball world, it's already there. Check out Al's work on The Athletic, Rotographs. He's host of Fantasy Baseball in 15 on The Athletic as well. Al, it is always great to talk baseball with you. Thanks for making some time for us this afternoon.
My pleasure, Rich. Great talking to you.
That is Al Melchior with us on Downtown on the fantasy baseball scene.